Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. And this is the reading of God's Word. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It teaches us Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. It teaches us who we truly are forever in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, through your word, let us meet your Son Jesus and let us have this sweet fellowship with him, learning the things of God. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us live for your glory, witnessing the reality of heaven, witnessing our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This psalm, Psalm 32, sings about the happiness that belongs to the people whose sins are forgiven by God. Just like Psalm 1, it begins, verse 1 and 2, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Yes, again, we are faced with the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before we begin, let me just tell you that you are this blessed man in this psalm. In Jesus Christ. It is your story. You are the ones whose sins are forgiven by God, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Through this psalm, see how blessed and happy you really are in Jesus Christ. This psalm uses three different words for sin. And they are in verses 1 and 2. The first word, transgression, the flat out rebellion against God's laws, knowingly and intentionally disobeying God. Transgression. The second word it uses is sin. Literally, missing the mark. Again, knowingly and intentionally missing the mark. The picture is that you are shooting an arrow and it misses the mark. You deviate from the right path so that you never get to the place where you started out for. It is falling short of the glory of God. And the third word that he uses is iniquity. This points to the depravity, the wicked corruption that is in a sinner, the evil that is working in a sinner, the original sin. And these three words paints to us a picture of a sinner. The evil that is working in a sinner. Totally depraved, thus knowingly disobey and misses the mark. Thus Paul cries out, Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" The answer to that question is, of course, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in order for us to understand Psalm 32, we must go to Paul. Paul interprets this psalm in Romans chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. And let us go there. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Paul says, and as you know, Romans chapter 4 is about justification by faith and faith alone. Now there in chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works." As you know, Psalm 32 is written by David. So Paul says, just as David also speaks of what? Blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And he quotes the psalm that we just read. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness." Thus, from Paul, we understand this psalm. The psalm is about the justification by God only through faith, not by works. That we are justified, that we are called as righteous people of God through faith and faith alone. And Romans 4 is about that. And in Paul, what is Paul doing? By teaching, as he teaches us justification by faith alone, he uses Psalm 32 to back up his argument. So we understand that Psalm 32 then is talking about justification by faith alone. We are called righteous by God only through our faith that God gives, not by sight. That's why people who are forgiven their sins and called righteous, they are the blessed people of God. They are happy people because their sins are forgiven and they are called righteous. Not because of anything they have done, but because what Christ has done for them. And it's only by faith. You believe Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. Now, how does then Psalm 32 describe this justification? Well, in three things, this psalm tells us how the justification happens. First, it says that the transgression is forgiven. Your transgression is forgiven. The word forgiven there is close to removed. So the transgression is removed. The picture is that the heavy burden you carry is now being lifted up because someone comes and takes that heavy burden away from you. It is removed. And who removes and lifts this heavy burden of transgression? Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God that takes away your sin, your transgression. So our transgression is transferred to Jesus Christ, and bearing our sins, then he died upon that cross, receiving the judgment of God for our sins. And we see that picture in the Old Testament as the priest lay his hand over a lamb before that lamb is sacrificed. So what is the picture? That his sin is now transferred, removed, and is transferred to that lamb, and instead of you, that lamb dies. And even in the Old Testament, that picture was pointing to what Jesus will do when he comes. And he came and he did just that. So, the first thing we see is that transgression is forgiven or removed. The second thing it tells us is that sin is covered. It is covered from the eyes of God, thus it is as if there is no sin. It's covered so that it's not visible. So that it's as if there is no sin at all. And what covers our sins? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that he earned by obeying God perfectly when he came as a man and lived here for 33 years. That righteousness is what covers your sin. It is like a wearing the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ like a clothing. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It is the bridal gown for the God's bride. You know how when you go to a wedding, you see a bride wearing a beautiful white dress, and that has biblical meaning. It symbolizes the bride's holiness. She is covered with beautiful clothing. Just like how we will be covered with beautiful clothing, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us so that God now calls us righteous in his sight. So transgression is forgiven, sin is covered, and the third thing, iniquity the Lord does not impute. The Lord does not take into account our iniquity. When he judges us, he does not take into account our iniquity, our sins. Because Jesus has paid the penalty of those sins, so only thing that he takes into account is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ when he judges us. Thus, there is no condemnation because he does not take into account our iniquity. It is the picture of being debt-free. There's nothing you have to pay. You're debt-free. God imputes Jesus' righteousness, but does not impute our iniquity. All this is what happened to you and to me who are in Jesus Christ. So even as you worship before God, you need to remember, and not just remember, but believe that your transgression is removed, is forgiven, and your sin is covered. So only thing that God sees is Jesus' righteousness. And he does not impute your iniquity. He does not take into account your sins. This is how you stand before God, even right now, as you worship God. And God's people whose sins are forgiven now lives a life that is a participation in the life of Christ. We imitate him and be more and more like him. Thus, verse 2b says, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Peter talks of our Lord Jesus Christ as the one whose spirit, in whose spirit there is no deceit. And verse 6b, who is godly? Who is like God? And Paul teaches us that this happens only by and through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, not by our works. We must believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins and that he lived a perfect righteous life for us. And those who believe repent of their sins. If we do not repent of our sins, then, verses 3 and 4, when I kept silent about my sin, when I'm not repenting of my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. A picture of sin and a picture of a sinner, a picture of death. The wage of sin is death. The life is drained and dried up. This is what happens in hell for all those who do not believe, all those who do not repent of their sins. Body is wasted away. No strength at all. Groaning all day. Groaning of death. Life is sucked out and dried. Vitality is drained away as with the fever heat of summer. No energy at all. It is like a desert in the hot summer day. A pitcher is oil being dried, so no more oil in the lamp. This is how the non-Christian will be in hell. But the blessed man repents of his sins. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Unlike non-repentance, unlike non-believers who do not repent of their sins, we acknowledge our sins to God. And our iniquity we do not hide. We say we will confess our transgression to the Lord, and God forgives our sins. The repentance is grace from our God. Sinner cannot repent on their own strength and on their own will. So whenever you find yourself repenting of your sins, praise God and give thanks to him. Because that is grace. God is working. He's blessing you. And here in verse 5, it is a picture of a complete repentance. All three words are in the verse: transgression, sin, and iniquity. By showing all those three words, it shows that this person is truly, completely repenting. It doesn't mean that just because you use these three words in your repenting, it means that you're completely repenting. No. But this verse is showing us that picture. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God saves us from the misery of verses 3 and 4 and leads us to repent of our sins, and He forgives our sins, thus leading us to blessedness and happiness. And this is the reality of the blessed man. This is your reality. But we must remember that God does not just forgive our sins. It's not like some people think God is like a Santa Claus kind of figure, who is a jolly person. And, you know, at the end, God just looks at all the sinners and say what? Ah, I forgive everybody, just come into heaven. No, God cannot do that. God does not just, forgive our sins. God forgives our sins because He has judged our sins in Jesus Christ. Jesus has paid the penalty in full, our sins. That's why He forgives us. That's why our sins are forgiven. What is amazing in this is this. The agony of verses 3 and 4, and I have described that to you as a reality of sinners who are in hell. But that experience, the life being sucked out and dried, is what Jesus experiences on the cross. Go to Psalm 22. 22nd Psalm. This is what we call Messianic Psalm because it clearly shows us the Messiah who is to come. To me, all 150 Psalms are Messianic Psalms, but people call it like that. Psalm 22nd. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you know, Jesus cried out the same thing on the cross. So my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. So here's groaning. You remember verse 3 and 4? Groaning was there. Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him because He delights in him. And they are mocking him. Go to verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me, and ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. Here the vitality is drained. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. So that the heat of dry desert, life is dried and sucked out, vitality drained. Same experience that verses 3 and 4 is describing. And verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, and band of evildoers has encompassed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 18, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is exactly what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. So this second, 22nd Psalm describes the experience of Jesus on the cross, and it is the same experience that is described in verses 3 and 4. And do you see it? Jesus, who is sinless, is experiencing the hell, the life of hell, because of your and my sin. Our sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He is counted as a sinner so that we will be counted as righteous. And coming back to our Psalm, Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. The true happiness is what? Is God being our refuge, our hiding place. In a time when you may be found, and brothers and sisters, that time is now. We come to God repenting of our sins. In a flood of great waters, Noah was saved even though the water covered the whole earth. And Hebrews 11 tells us that Noah did what he did through and by faith and faith alone. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ is our hiding place. Even at the final judgment of God, Jesus is our hiding place, our perfect safety and perfect rest. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. And therefore, there is no condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nahum chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, who is able to stand before his indignation? Who is able to endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. The salvation is coming to God. Our sins are forgiven, and we are with God. No matter what happens, we have happiness in God. Proverbs 14:32b says, the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Even at the time of our death, Jesus is our hiding place. Psalm 18. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. And how does God describe our happiness, our blessedness? Not only that our transgression is forgiven, our sin is covered, and he does not impute our iniquities, but the verse 7 says, God surrounds me with songs of deliverance. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Verse 11 of our psalm says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. The bliss of heaven, the happiness of heaven, the blessedness of finding a hiding place in Jesus Christ. We praise and praise and praise our God forever and ever. And this is our present reality in Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself? How God surrounds you with songs of deliverance. Jesus Christ is my hiding place. We possess him as we are his possession. And that Jesus, your hiding place, he invites you to his table today. And we are coming to Jesus Christ, who has alone has accomplished our eternal salvation. He gives you all of him. Come to Jesus Christ, your refuge and your hiding place. And as you come, see how your transgression is forgiven. See how your sin is covered. And see how God does not take into account your iniquity. See Jesus Christ, who gives all of himself to you. See your hiding place and truly realize and believe how blessed and happy you really are in Jesus Christ. And let us praise now and forever our God who surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Jeremiah 31 verse 34b, I will, God says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Rejoice, for your transgression is forgiven. Your sin is covered. And God does not take into account your iniquity. He welcomes you. And he loves you. And he gives all of himself to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are truly blessed. We are happy people of God. Oh Father, be with all of us. Because of things of this world and affairs of this world, so many of us are so tired, it is even hard to just be awake and hear your word. Have mercy upon your people and bless them. And that they may be aware, realize, and believe how their transgressions are forgiven, how their sin is covered, and how God does not impute their iniquity. But that God saved all of his people and surrounds all of his people with songs of praise. Let us come to your table as a blessed man, happy man in Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.